98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:05. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Monday. We embark on another week here on MCT. And here is what we are going to be doing today, at least we're scheduled to do. First half of the program today, we're scheduled to have with us Gabby Swisher, Mid-Columbia Center for Living Project Manager in studio. And we'll talk about their local plan, strategic vision for the area, and the services they provide, mental and behavioral health services. That's to lead us off this morning. Second half of the show, Andrea Claus in studio, Port of the Dalles Executive Director. We'll talk about what the Port of the Dalles is doing. So all that coming up in the course of the next, a little less than 1 hour of radio time. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. 1915, the U.S. House of Representatives rejected 204-174, a proposed constitutional amendment to give women nationwide the right to vote. 1932, Hattie Carraway of Arkansas became the first woman to win election to the U.S. Senate after initially being appointed to serve out the remainder of the term of her late husband, Thaddeus. 1935, aviator Amelia Earhart completed an 18-hour trip from Honolulu to Oakland, making her the first person to fly solo across any part of the Pacific Ocean. 1948, the U.S. Supreme Court in Sipuel versus Board of Regents at the University of Oklahoma unanimously ruled that state law schools could not discriminate against applicants on the basis of race. 1959, Berry Gordy Jr. founded Motown Records in Detroit. This day in 1969, the biggest upset in Super Bowl history occurred as the New York Jets of the American Football League defeated the Baltimore Colts of the National Football League 16-7 in Super Bowl III, played at the Orange Bowl in Miami. 2010, Haiti was struck by a magnitude 7 earthquake that the Haitian government estimated killed some 300,000 people. Our days for today, it is Work Harder Day today, which I'm not sure you want to hear right now, but there you go. It's International Kiss a Ginger Day today. Now, this will be redheads in this country. I'm not sure really that you should be doing that unless you, like, know that person. National Clean Off Your Desk Day. I know I need to do that. It's National Pharmacist Day today. And it is Stick to Your New Year's Resolution Day today. Apparently, a lot of you have already stopped, according to most statistics. Got a lot of food today for you, food and drink. It is National Marzipan Day. It is National Gluten-Free Day. It's National Hot Tea Day today. National Curried Chicken Day. It's International French Onion Soup Day today. And National Glazed Donut Day is today. So there it is for what it's worth, which may not be a whole lot. 8:08 in the morning, Gabby Swisher joins us next.
Have you hugged an alpaca today? Hi, this is Angela. Visit Cedar Creek Alpacas and you might just get to hug Jasper, the famous alpaca. Come meet all the adorable new baby alpacas from this year. There are babies everywhere. There's a reason Cedar Creek Alpacas was voted best in the gorge in attraction, family entertainment, and gift shop. So plan your visit today and create unforgettable memories. More at cedarcreekalpacas.com. Cedar Creek Alpacas. We're just 10 minutes off Highway 14 in Cook, Washington. The alpacas can't wait to see you.
One smile is great, but one smile in a community of smiles is so much better. A smile has a secret power that most people don't know about. A smile multiplies. It spreads from one person to the next, stretching across entire groups of people. Smile Train knows this and is proud to be creating a wave of smiles across the cleft lip and palate community. In over 70 countries. Patients, doctors, advocates, fundraisers. Collectively, our smiles are a celebration of the transformed lives of over 1.5 million children. Learn how Smile Train is helping the cleft lip and palate community at smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we are back. It is 8:10 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're happy to have with us now in the studio from Mid-Columbia Center for Living, Gabby Schwister joins us. Good morning, Gabby.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. And Gabby, I think first before we get into what we're going to talk about here, you're the project manager at Center for Living. But for those who might not be familiar, tell us a little bit about what Center for Living is and what it does.
Sure, yeah. Mid-Columbia Center for Living is what we call the Community Mental Health Program for Hood River, Wasco, and Sherman counties. In Oregon, all counties have a community mental health program that provides safety net services to Oregonians, mostly focused on folks who really need that safety net service, so folks on Medicaid, Medicare, maybe folks who don't have insurance or are underinsured as well.
And you are the project manager there, so I would suspect you have a lot of projects you have to work with.
Yes, jack of all trades. You'll find me doing just about everything.
What we're going to talk about here, though, is a local plan, which I imagine you always have, to an extent, and strategic vision, which I imagine you always have, but I assume you're kind of going through a regular process right now of reviewing and redeveloping this.
Yeah, there's kind of two things. We have our strategic plan, which we do annually, biannually, that guides the organization, and this local plan is adjacent to it. It is a part of our agreement with the Oregon Health Authority, and every county has one of these local plans. It really describes the way that we're going to do all of our safety net services over the next 2 years.
So, starting here with that local plan, you mentioned it's given to the Oregon Health Authority. So, I would imagine there are certain things the Oregon Health Authority wants to see in them. I've never known it work with the state any other way. So what do you have to cover in this local plan to satisfy the state?
Yeah, the Oregon Health Authority created what I call buckets of things that they are making sure that we do. The first one is what they call system management, and that's just operating Center for Living, coming here and talking to people you.
Okay.
The second is our crisis services. So people might be familiar with a county crisis line. That is the phone number that they would call if somebody's experiencing a behavioral health crisis in our community and needs support. We can send people out into the community to meet with people who are experiencing crisis. That's something the Oregon Health Authority cares a lot about. Also included in that is some disaster response. We actually have a state mandate to help people who are experiencing disasters, like, for example, the Rowena fires, help them get that through that emotionally challenging time. I'll go on, but what questions do you have so far?
Well, actually, I'm going to ask this because Wednesday, I happened to log on to the Wasco County Commission meeting after this show, as your executive director, Al Barton, was talking to the Wasco County Commission about the negotiations with Pacific Source, and Pacific Source wants to decrease funding by 30% for some elements of what the Center for Living does, which I assume is basically the reimbursements. And when I heard you mention crisis in particular, crisis services and things wanted by the OHA, is that part of what this 30% cut involves?
The 30% cut did not include crisis.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. What does it include?
Most other things. Their proposed rates include cuts to some of our outpatient services, so services for adults with severe and persistent mental illness, some services for children, including a wraparound program, which provides a really great service to kids who maybe have multiple system involvement. So maybe they have DHS involvement and something going on with their health and a behavioral health condition. A wraparound team would kind of come in and make sure that they had a really clear plan instead of a bunch of different plans.
So for the crisis services, how do you get funded then? I mean, does the state provide funding directly?
Yes, the state provides funding directly, as does our CCO, the Coordinated Care Organization contracts.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned crisis in particular on this local plan, but there are some other elements I think you're going to get to also.
Yeah, another key focus of the state is work around the legal system and jail diversion and helping people who are interacting with the legal system, but maybe it's because they have a behavioral health condition. The state is really invested in helping those folks get into care versus winding up in jails or prisons. Mm-hmm. So that's another big focus of this local plan as well.
You know, we say mental health, we say behavioral health. I admit, from my very low, limited layman knowledge here, I would almost think they intersect or are almost the same thing. I take it, though, there is a difference between the two.
I'm so glad you asked that, because it is a change in language recently, and it trips a lot of people up. Behavioral health is what I consider the umbrella for both mental health problems and substance use or gambling and other addiction problems. It's a way of covering it all without saying it all.
Okay. Yeah, I would assume you obviously probably doing this plan is trying to decide where resources are going to go. For the three counties you work with, Hood River, Wasco, and Sherman counties, among the elements you talked about in this plan, what tends to be, I don't know if most important is the right term, but maybe the highest level of service that you have to provide? I'm thinking here, does it tend to be on that side and working with the criminal justice side, or is it elsewhere?
It's a good question, and it's hard to choose because they're all so important. Mm-hmm. There are some services that are mandated across our state that both the Coordinated Care Organizations and Oregon wants to make sure are available. So those are programs like our Assertive Community Treatment Team. So that's, I think they're going to come in and talk to you soon, but they're going to come, they provide services in the community to a person with a severe mental illness, so like schizophrenia or severe bipolar disorder. They'll go out and actually help that person wherever they are instead of expecting them to come into the office. So that is a big piece of what we do. We also offer a similar program for young adults who are experiencing their first episode of psychosis. Also super important. All of these really core safety net services, things that you can't provide just as a one person providing counseling, are the things that I think would say are the most core to our mission.
You know, I hear about, from not so much this sort of thing, but from other governments and et cetera, agencies, about the difficulty of finding, you know, being able to keep finding staff to be able to handle. Because the job that you guys do, admittedly, has got to be taxing. It's got to be emotionally draining. It's got, you know, because of what you're dealing with. Is it difficult to find the resources and the people to do all this and meet the need right now?
I would say it's gotten better. Mm. And I would say while it is all very hard work, it can also be amazing to witness somebody who's had a profound illness get better. We have some amazing staff who work at Center for Living and have worked there for years and years. So we are seeing workforce is always going to be a challenge for us, and it is getting easier.
I drifted away here a bit. With this local plan that you're retooling, how often do you retool this plan?
Every 2 years.
Okay. What are you looking at changes specifically right now, or is it more just maybe some refinements on the edges at this point?
It's a good question. The state totally changed the way that this plan looks. So a lot of it was restructuring. The state also provided some allowances to do things differently, which is great for a rural community like us, because these requirements are the same in the Portland metro region as they are here.
And that kind of ties back to the question I had about, you know, what maybe you prioritize here, because it's hardly the only sector of state and local government interaction that there are requirements that tend to get handed down that maybe aren't necessarily what we need here to be most effective. So, how much discretion do they give you to be able to craft your own way?
Quite a bit. As long as we can do the thing, we can do it differently. So, for example, in large counties, they might have a lot more people interacting with the legal system than we do here. And so they might have a whole team. Here, we have several teams, but we also have the ability to kind of shift. And since there might be one person a month that comes into a specific program, we can be flexible about that.
You can move people around where you have the need locally at the time in particular.
Correct.
Strategic vision. That was a separate thing from this local plan. The local plan appears to be more, this is what the Oregon Health Authority wants in a piece of paper. Strategic vision differs, doesn't it?
I would say so.
So in what way does it differ for the organization?
I think Center for Living really envisions a comprehensive system of support for people in the Gorge who are experiencing behavioral health conditions. Mm-hmm. Right now, for a lot of care, people have to leave. They have to go as far as Klamath Falls to go and get substance use care. And Center for Living's invested in changing that so people can get the care they need in the community that they know.
So how do you begin to bring that care here? I mean, I know economies of scale enter into this for rural communities. Are there, I would assume there are specific, and this gets back, of course, to the Resolution Center that was discussed. I know that's being retooled now because of federal regulations. But what do you right now pinpoint as this is what we need here right now?
Yeah, right now we are focused on substance use residential treatment as kind of the newest iteration of the Resolution Center in light of the ruling.
So how would that look? I mean, are we talking about residential? So obviously you're talking about in-house care, if you will, not out of office. I mean, how big are we looking at here?
I think we're looking at 16 to 20 beds. Mm. And yes, you're right. That's somewhere where people live for a period of time. Sometimes it's 30 days, sometimes it's 90 days, and they receive all their care under one roof.
Do we have an idea, and I know probably not everybody goes through Mid-Columbia Center for Living on this, but do we have an idea of how many people are leaving the area to get this sort of care?
I believe when I last looked, it was close to just in one of our coordinated care organizations. So that's only people who are on Medicaid. It was approaching 100 people leaving our area in a given year to receive that care.
So 16 to 20 wouldn't exactly be, or it's 100 people in a year. I mean, I don't know how long people stay in this sort of thing. I assume it's not a full year, but it may depend case to case for all I know.
Yeah, and averages are hard because often people will go for 1 or 2 days and then decide this isn't for me right now.
Right.
And they'll leave. So that skews average down quite a bit. But we usually look at 30 to 90 days.
And then they'll come back. I mean, there's a back and forth part element to this in reality. I guess where I was going to go here, I mean, that's just Medicaid. So, I mean, that number's got to be bigger in some manner. Where are they going now? I mean, when you say Klamath Falls, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if you were telling me, oh, some Wasco County people are going to Bend, Hood River County folks going to Portland, et cetera, maybe Pendleton, Hermiston. But when we get outside the metro areas, how much of this is there around?
Not enough.
Obviously.
I think the estimates say that we're short about 1,200 substance use beds on any given night in Oregon.
Okay.
Which is why people wind up having to travel far and wide to get the care they need.
Which does lead me to this question. If people are going to go, say, to a Klamath Falls to do this, does that impact the effectiveness of the treatment? I would think treatment usually maybe has a better chance of working if the people who need it can stay at least close to home and family.
Yeah, I would say so as well. And the likelihood that they might go also reduces, right? If I can't see my dog for 90 days.
Or, you know, dog, daughters, father, job, whatever it might be.
All the things.
Yes. All those things.
Absolutely.
You know, how often do you treat? I mean, I would think the strategic visions usually don't get changed as much as what state government would like you to do for a local plan. I at least I hope not. But I mean, how often do you really try to take a look at that?
I think we look at it very frequently as an organization and check in on where we are.
I guess maybe more. I can understand certainly that part as far as trying to figure out are we effective right now. But I think more just in terms of how you'd, if you were going to revise it, I would think that stays fairly stable.
It does stay fairly stable, with the caveat that we're looking at some Medicaid changes, and so that might change what we need to be focused on in the future as well.
Which leads to the question, you know, with all the funding changes you can possibly have, you mentioned Medicaid. I alluded to this, really not involved in this local plan, but you know, the Coordinated Care Organization, Pacific Source issues. The 9,000 other, I'm being a little facetious here, but 9,000 other possible places the feds and state can adjust, cut, raise, et cetera, funding. What is the funding picture right now? And what is you? I would imagine it's tough to do any sort of planning if your funding situation is just as unstable as it seems like in some other areas I talk to local governments about.
Yeah, I would say it's hard, and we are focusing on how do we innovate, how do we be more effective with less, how do we partner more to still provide the care that people need, because that is not changing in the face of all of this.
Well, you mentioned effective. How do, when you go through your local plan, I mean, part of it, I'm sure, is going through what the previous local plan was. How do you measure effectiveness?
Well, if you want the boring answer.
I'll take the boring one first, we can go from there.
The Oregon Health Authority provides us with some metrics of success that they are tracking.
I'm going to show off my biases against the state and how they do anything at this point. But maybe more, how do you internally? You know, I mean, it's one thing. I mean, and I know you kind of have to meet the OHA's requirements. I get that.
Which is why they called it the boring answer.
That's the boring answer. Which is fine, and that some answers are boring. But maybe more internally, how do you look at progress in this issue?
Yeah. To put it simply, are people getting better?
Yeah.
Is the question that we ask. And better looks different for different people, right?
Right.
But we look at that for each and every one of our programs and patients.
Is it difficult to measure, you know, getting better, because there is a reality that it's not people getting better or being able to fight addictions or mental health issues is not necessarily a linear path, but has a lot of stops and starts to it?
I would say so. Yes. Yeah. It's not as simple as a person with diabetes and you measure their blood glucose.
Right. There's stops and starts in all this at that point. Gabby Swisher is with us, Mid-Columbia Center for Living. She is project manager. And by the way, Al Barton's going to be here Wednesday, actually, Mid-Columbia Community Action. So I'll probably find a little bit more about this community care organization thing. Do you also find when you try to talk to people about this, because, I mean, I've done this show for a lot of years, and these issues come up, but wow, it becomes confusing to people. And when you start throwing in these CCO terms, OHA, I mean, we start throwing all this around. You find it's difficult for people outside of the business that you're in to necessarily understand how this whole thing works?
Yes. It is a very complicated system we've made for ourselves.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering that. Because, I mean, I sit here and go, okay, what actually impacts where? And the answer differs depending on what particular subject we're talking about for behavioral health or mental health. And you know, I can see where it gets confusing for a lot of people. Well, I think it becomes confusing for people to know, are we effective or not in this? Because there are so many different subsectors involved, like a CCO, et cetera. And, it's just a little bit different to try to figure out how this all works and is it working? I always wonder, is it just as difficult for the people who are inside of this work rather than just us looking from the outside?
Yeah, I've been doing this for 15 years, and I learn something new just about every week.
Well, I mean, that can be good, too, though.
It keeps me on my feet.
Gabby Swisher's been with us. Gabby, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Bottom of the Hour news coming up right after this.
Everybody loves the season of giving, but now the season of paying for it is upon us. That not-so-wonderful time of the year when millions of Americans open their credit card statements, stare in horror at the balance, and resolve then and there to find new ways to save money. If you're among those Americans, why not start by cutting your wireless bill in half right now with Pure Talk's Saver Plan? It's easy. You'll get unlimited talk, text, and 3 gigs of high-speed data on a super-fast, nationwide 5G network for just $20 a month. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Ho, ho, ho! And if you're active or former military or a first responder, you'll save an additional 20% every single month. That's #250. Say Mike Rowe for the gift that keeps on saving from America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Craving bold flavors and a warm welcome? Head to Casa El Mirador in the Dalles. Known for their famous hot sizzling fajitas, Casa El Mirador serves up fresh, flavorful Mexican favorites that arrive steaming right to your table. But it's not just the food, it's the stellar hospitality that keeps locals coming back. From friendly service to generous portions and gold medal winning margaritas, every visit feels like a celebration. Come enjoy the sizzle and the fiesta of flavor at Casa El Mirador, online at CasaElMirador.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:32 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Take a look at the news. The time and place with tonight's the Dalles City Council meeting have been changed. The meeting now at 6 this evening in the Dalles Middle School Commons. It will still be live streamed at the city's website, thedalles.org. Part of the agenda includes a resolution acknowledging the impacts associated with heightened federal immigration enforcement activity and lists community support actions. For the second time in a year, State Representative Greg Smith has conceded violating state law by not fully disclosing clients of his private consulting company. The Salem Reporter reports Smith, a Republican from Heppner, has agreed to a letter of education from the Oregon Government Ethics Commission over the violation. That sanction is standard for the commission in matters concerning disclosures. A commission investigation found Smith did not report his company's dealings with Morrow Development Corporation, a small nonprofit based in Heppner. Washington's Executive Ethics Board ruled Governor Bob Ferguson likely violated state laws by allowing his former top advisor, Mike Webb, to travel with him on a state plane to the Tri-Cities last summer. In a unanimous vote, the board concluded there was reasonable cause to believe Ferguson ran afoul of Washington's ethics laws by using state resources for the benefit of a non-state employee. Ferguson told the ethics board last year the use of state resources was, quote, de minimis in nature and not for private gain, and he asked for the matter to be dismissed. A federal judge has blocked President Trump's administration from enforcing most of his executive order on elections against the vote-by-mail states Washington and Oregon in the latest blow to Trump's efforts to require documentary proof of citizenship to vote and to require all ballots be received by Election Day. Current temperatures, 40 in Stevenson, 36 in the Dalles, 38 in Hood River. It is 8:34 in the morning.
Looking to level up your fitness game? The Power Station in Hood River is your one-stop spot for strength, sweat, and now indoor pickleball. Yup, is it too hot, too cold, too windy, or crowded? The Power Station has a state-of-the-art indoor pickleball court, perfect for all-weather play, lessons, training, and play with your group. Whether you're crushing weights or dinking at the net, the Power Station keeps you moving strong. Learn more and book your court time now at powerstationhr.com, where Hood River trains and plays.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
This forecast is brought to you by She Fire. We're your local fire protection company. Call to get your fire extinguishers inspected today. 541-980-1181. She Fire, 980-1181.
We've got mild weather in the forecast the next few days, including mostly sunny skies today. High is going to be in the mid-50s, and the winds are expected to be light.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is 8:36 in the morning. Andrea Claus, Port of the Dalles Executive Director, has joined us. Good morning, Andrea. Good morning.
I'll try again. You're so far away.
Well, I just didn't hit the button there that I should. I'm not usually the one on this side of the glass, but basketball tonight, so I have to be on this side instead. Getting caught up on some things with the Port of the Dalles. I guess, first of all, you wanted to mention that riverfront trail work that the port was a contributor to.
Yep.
That's been taken care of, some of the repairs out there. I think you got a report, as Wasco County did, on that.
Yeah, we did. So, you know, a lot of the riverfront trail from sort of where Northern Wasco PUD is out to the Discovery Center, a lot of that trail actually is on port-owned property. We gave an easement to the riverfront trail folks years ago. And there's one particular section that's been an ongoing problem. And for anybody who, you know, runs or bikes or walks on the trail, it's the section that's down by Chenoweth Creek, kind of on the north side there. And there are some amazing old poplar trees that we think were planted when they were farming out there, really to break up the wind. But the poplar roots grew under the asphalt, and poplar roots and asphalt don't mix well, and it caused a lot of heaving and really made the trail not very level right there, as you can imagine. I think it was probably compounded by the fact that Chenoweth Creek is there, and so things are very healthy and are very robust. And so the Riverfront Trail Committee decided that they actually needed to relocate a portion of that trail. And everything is, you know, everything was expensive and everything is getting more expensive. So the port agreed to allow them to move the trail. Since they're on our easement, we needed to expand that. But they needed a little bit of gap funding to help them complete that project. So they used local contractors and got that section of the trail moved. But, you know, one of the things that I didn't realize is that the idea for the trail started 38 years ago. And it just kind of reminds me when I think about that. So we have this amazing asset in the Dalles now. Somebody had an idea 38 years ago, and over time we now have this 8.5 mile, 10 mile trail. And sometimes you just need to start the project. Like, you can't wait till all the pieces are in place.
Yes. It depends on what the project is. I mean, some things you have to have all the pieces in place.
Yes.
You know, I think of a bridge, for example. If you don't have everything, all pieces
well,
in place,
that's
the bridge,
a good example.
For the bridge, you stop halfway, you've got nothing. Whereas the trail you could do in stages, and you have something each time you finish the stage.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but you also need to have that idea, right?
True.
So you have the idea today, but recognizing that it might not be done tomorrow. It might be done 5 years from now. Even like the bridge is a great example. It's like, we know that needs to happen, but it does take time to pull all those parts together. So, you know, having a plan and having an idea today for improvements tomorrow, I think is, you know, this trail is just a great representation of that.
Pulling back to the trail and the recreation subject, the Port of the Dalles Commission did approve a resolution, and this is in regard the recreational liability conversation that's gone on in this state. You don't hear about it as much because other higher profile things tend to overshadow it. Things like transportation, things like that. But it's been an issue for local governments, certainly, and special districts initially kind of got left out of a bit of a solution for all the other local governments. Yeah, oops.
So recreational immunity, you know, very broadly, it allows people to open their property for free public access. And if something happens to a person while they're accessing your property, they cannot sue you, or they can only sue you up to a certain point, I guess. It limits the damages that are available to somebody. And it actually applies to, you know, generally this recreational immunity applies to private folks as well as public folks. But yes, it's been an ongoing conversation. So most recently, again, you know, just a really bit of background, there was somebody who was walking from a city-owned parking lot to a trail. And when they were walking across, like, kind of the point from the parking lot to the trail, they fell and they broke their leg. And they said that they were not recreating when they were walking to the trail from the parking lot. So the legislature, and great for them, they actually came up with a solution and a new indemnity for public agencies. But in this solution, yes, it only applied to cities and counties. There are a lot of special districts. So ports are special districts, PUDs are special districts, parks and rec are special districts. So there are many, many, many of these districts. Irrigation, if you ever walk on an irrigation trail. So they recently did make an adjustment and allowed special districts to also opt into this immunity. And so we will be discussing that at this upcoming port meeting on Wednesday so that we can continue to allow people to walk from the parking lot, you know, across a path to get to the trail. And we will be we will not be liable if they fall in that short distance.
Mm-hmm. And you have not had to experience that to this point, but then again, many of these usually involve there's some work going on somewhere, and somebody doesn't notice it, and now you go into this mess.
Exactly. You know, and Mark, it's always those gray areas, right?
Right.
It's like if you park your car and you're walking to the trail, are you recreating when you're walking to the trail? Well, I guess not. And that's, you know, and that was sort of the argument.
And this is what makes people hate lawyers, by the way.
Yes.
When we get into this part of it, I'm sorry, but I don't care whether it's for recreating or for walking, or going to work or whatever it is. It should be the same. The issue just should be who is at fault for this occurring here, and usually it's frankly not the property owner. For the most part,
yes.
Usually it's somebody did something silly. Occasionally, that's why I don't want full immunity, because occasionally there is something done by a property owner, public or private, that led to this happening.
Yep.
But I want some common sense here involved.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, I don't have. I mean, I have a show of common sense gets involved in government. So if I achieve the goal, it might be a time for me to hit the road too. Also, I'll stay on the recreation track.
Yes.
Marina.
Yep.
You're going to take a look at doing kind of a full overview, it sounds like, of what the marina may need down the road.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking about, I was mentioning about planning with the Riverfront Trail. So, you know, I've been on the show, you know, last few months when I've been on the show, I've been talking about some work we've been doing down along the waterfront. So we had a property survey done to actually understand where the Port of the Dalles property boundaries are, how far into the Columbia River they go along the waterfront. And the waterfront I'm talking about is really right the city of the Dalles area. So from kind of Rockfort down to Riverfront Park, sort of like that general area. We had a property boundary survey done. They also did a topography survey, so we understand literally the lay of the land. We then had an underwater survey done, so we can see how the river bottom matches up to the land. And this is important for us because we, you know, as we look at possibly rebuilding the old port wharf, the original wharf built in 1933, which was the start of the Port of the Dalles, it was built on dry land at the same time that Bonneville Dam was being constructed. And so we really wanted to understand, like, where, what does the river bottom look like sort of in that area? And so then this third component, the one that you're mentioning, is that we, so the Port of the Dalles owns the marina in the Dalles, and we want to get a facility survey. So to understand what is the useful life of the docks and the infrastructure in the marina right now. You know, those docks were installed quite some time ago. And we just, you know, we've had two fires down there. And so we decided it was really important for us. And we're working with our concessionaire, who's the operator down there. And we're going to be engaging an engineering company to come in and do a really in-depth look at the docks and the their connections to the bank and the utilities down there, so that we have a really good report on what does it look like today? What improvements do we need to do? And again, you know, how do we plan for 5 years down the road?
What's the vision for the use of this in over the next number of years, you know, for going through this? What's the vision for what the expectation would be?
Yeah, so for the specific plan, so this facility plan, this facility study plan that we're having, it really is to identify, again, sort of like what that useful life is of the remaining infrastructure. And so, again, thinking about planning, if the cost of repairs to keep the dock, you know, sort of suitable and in place for 5 years is near or exceeds the cost of rebuilding a new facility, maybe we should consider rebuilding a new facility. You know, it really is really that maintenance cost balanced against replacement cost. And we're hoping that this study will really give us that information that we need to make that decision.
So how long do you think it's going to take to be able to do this, be able to really get a feel for what's down there?
Yeah, so the company that, you know, if the commission approves the contract, the company said that it will be about 3 months for them to actually do the work. Mm-hmm. And so they will be doing above ground work. So, you know, what do the docks look like on, you know, as you walk down the docks and the connection points on the docks, but they also have a number of divers that are going to be going underwater and looking underneath the dock and also at the pilings, you know, and so the pilings are the posts that the docks are connected to. And, you know, again, you know, sort of like a little interesting side story, when that facility was being constructed, the company bid to come in and to set the pilings, and typically pilings are round. And if you go down to the Port of the Dalles Marina, you will see we have a number of what they're called H pilings. They're like an I beam, but, you know, going up and down. So it looks like an H, I guess. They actually had to sharpen points on the bottom of those and set them into cracks in basalt down at the base of the marina. Because as many people know, the Dalles sits on a very solid basalt base. Mm-hmm. And the marina is no different. And so it was a bit of a challenge getting some of those pilings set to be sturdy enough on the marina basin floor.
I was going to say that doesn't sound like the greatest plan in the world, except for it's been there for 90 plus years.
It's been there for a long time.
So, I mean, I guess it was sound, at least. I'm not sure you could do it now, but sound at the time.
Yeah, and these pilings are not 90 years old. You know, the marina has been rebuilt since mm-hmm. then. But there is, you know, there is a mix of round pilings, which you typically would see in a marina that you can just sort of like drive mm-hmm. down into sediment. And then there are these H pilings that, again, they had to actually sharpen the points and drive them into the rock.
Now, you mentioned the 3 months. Are they limited with water work windows on this sort of thing? Or because it's just simply they're just doing dives? They're not, you know, digging, obviously, or anything?
Yeah, no, there is no in-water work requirement for this.
Okay, so you they can, as soon as you get a contract signed, they can, when the conditions, I'm sure there are conditions they have to have, but to do it safely, but
yes, this seems to be so far a pretty good winter for a project like this. So I'm knocking on wood over here.
Yeah. Well, except for we could use some snow on the mountains, and I worry for agriculture. That's my worry here through all this. So you're doing that. Was there another waterfront thing we were going to get to? I can't recall here. My mind has slipped me here on this.
Yeah. So I actually mentioned it sort of as a segue in, but we did complete the underwater river bottom survey.
Okay.
And so that survey has actually been So the underwater survey and the land survey now have been matched up. So we have one map that sort of shows us the topography of both the land and underwater. And, you know, again, it's sort of interesting, Mark, when you look at the survey and you sort of see how quickly the river drops off, you know, in the Dalles. Again, it kind of reminds you of, you know, why that was such a treacherous place for the travelers, you know, coming across on the Oregon Trail to get down through there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's, you know, it's treacherous now for people who actually go down on the river. I mean, they, you know, it's something I know our rescue folks always say, you know, keeping in mind on the river, you know, you might be in ankle deep now.
Yes.
The next step might be 20 feet.
Or more.
Or more.
Yes.
And then we've got big problems, obviously,
yep,
at that stage. You mentioned Northwest Natural. Update that project. Northwest Natural is working.
Yep. So the Port of the Dalles sold some property to Northwest Natural a couple months ago. They wanted to get the project moving ahead quickly. Again, this weather has been very favorable for them to keep their project moving ahead quickly. It's there. It's called a resource center, and it will have both offices and customer service, but then also be a place where their vehicles can be stored so that they're able to dispatch pretty quickly right out of that location. And so they are, if you drive down River Trail Way, you can see the construction, but it's moving ahead quickly. And again, you know, this has been a favorable construction season this winter, so that's been great.
Was there one other thing wanted to get to?
There was one final thing that I had
ahead
on my list, and then whatever else you had. But, you know, we always talk about leads that we get from the state.
Right. There we go.
And I feel like we haven't had many that we've been able to talk about. And so we did receive a lead from the state this month. It is for a beverage manufacturing facility looking for 25 acres. 25 acres is something that the Port of the Dalles no longer has. You know, and as we were talking before we came on the show, you know, part of that is because, you know, Google has purchased about 60 acres from the port. And so we are continuing to look for additional land so that we can respond to some of these 25-acre sites.
Are there other places in the gorge that can have handle 25 acres? I mean, I don't think Hood River can. I doubt Cascade Locks can, even though I may be stepping out of turn here now.
Yeah, I don't think Cascade Locks can. Port of Klickitat may be able to over in Washington.
Or I was thinking Dalles Port was the place I was thinking.
Yeah, but they the Dalles Port development area is limited by the amount of water and sewer that they have available.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be, you know, certainly a site for some types of facilities. This particular facility has a large water use.
That's a beverage.
It's a beverage.
Yeah. So because, I mean, I would imagine when I hear something like that, I do think, okay, there's jobs connected here, and which is always my, sometimes I'll hear about projects and go, okay, but there doesn't sound like me there'd be much, the job potential isn't good. That one, it would seem to me, would be really good.
Yeah, they're projecting about 165 jobs.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
those are the projects I tend to lean to.
Yeah, it's a 24-hour, you know, 7 days a week, you know. Yeah, so it would be a good project for the region, but we just do not have the capacity right now for that.
Yeah. And that's a topic for another time, unfortunately. We've got to run.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Andrea Claus, Port of the Dalles Executive Director, 853. We'll wrap things up after this.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Want to make 2026 your year of adventure? Book that trip and learn a new language with Babbel. Go ahead, make a resolution you can stick to. Now is the time. Babbel's New Year sale is here. Unlock all of the languages on Babbel with a lifetime subscription for 65% off. Turn your daydream into a destination this year with Babbel. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
I am Heidi Hedlund, the quality manager at Skyline. I'm able to participate in all the patient care processes that are important, like what prevents patient falls from happening, what prevents patient infections from happening. Those type of things happen very rarely here at Skyline, I am happy to say. Skyline's a great place to stay if your family member is sick or if you get sick, because quality is a foundational aspect of Skyline Health. I am Skyline.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles basketball. Stay with 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and online at GorgeRadio.com for Eagles basketball all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Hood River Supply, Brown Roofing, Hood River Valley Parks and Recreation, and Hood River Le Schwab Tire Center.
Both the Eagle boys and girls take on Canby Monday at 5:30 on KIHR.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today as we begin to wrap things up this morning. What's coming up the rest of the week on the show? We're looking like I have a pretty busy week here today, and we're going to tell you that tomorrow we'll talk Hood River County. Commissioner Jennifer Ewer, Commission Chair, and Administrator Allison Williams. And Wasco County Commissioner Phil Brady is going to join us on the second half of the show. Wednesday, Mid-Columbia Community Action is going to be a part of our program. And also, we're going to talk Hood River County Health Department on the show. Thursday, Bethany Rittenhouse, Eagle Watch. We'll talk about what's coming up this weekend at the Dalles Dam and at Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. It's going to be a fun event, obviously, every year. Great event. A little different this year because it's probably going to be warmer than it's usually been for that. Looking ahead, the forecast this week as we continue this odd winter in our area. Of course, you know, I keep thinking February we're going to have some big storm. It always seems to be when we get the big storm for the winter, either right in that December period, right as you're thinking about trying to go somewhere, holidays, or February. Such it is. And then also on Friday, Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce will join us. That's coming up on Mid-Columbia Today. This week, we'll have a couple other things as well. Hoping to talk NorCor here at some point. Which actually, might do a little with Hood River County tomorrow. And we'll try to get some others. But there you go. That's what's coming up on the program. Far as things going on in the area. Just got a few seconds here before we got to take off here. But we can tell you that on a Wednesday, Underwood Conservation District Winter Workshop Series. The topic is community resiliency, creating diverse pollinator habitat at home and in your community with Xerces Society Pesticide Specialist Aaron Anderson, 6 o'clock Wednesday evening at the Stevenson Community Library. It is free and open to the public. Also, there's a winter baseball hitting camp for kids age 10 to 14 this weekend. Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 3, Hood River Valley High School. You can sign up at hoodriverparksandrec.org. So if you're getting ready for baseball season, and you are between the age of 10 and 14, which you probably should be listening right now. But if you're the parent of a child that is getting ready for baseball, that'd be a good thing to do. HoodRiverParksandRec.org, check that out. We're done. I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Tuesday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.